This episode of Continuing Mission is brought to you by Audible.com, offering more than 150,000 titles for your desktop or mobile device. To get a free audiobook of your choice, visit audibletrial.com/trekfm. Also, help us keep Star Trek discussion coming to you each day by becoming a Trek FM patron through Patreon. Get access to exclusive content and become part of the team. You'll find all the details at patreon.com/trekfm. That's patreon.com/trekfm.
I'm Jeff Combs. I'm everywhere on Star Trek, and you keep tuning in to Trek FM.
Welcome to another episode of Continuing Mission, our look at the ways in which fans are keeping Star Trek alive. I'm your host, Eric Brazier, and the primary focus of this show is on the fan series, or independent productions, that tell new stories set in the Star Trek universe. A lot of fans have wondered about Captain Pike and his backstory, and what his command of the USS Enterprise was like before Captain Kirk took it over. As we know from The Cage, Spock was involved in his command, but we don't really know a lot about their relationship. Well, in this episode of Continuing Mission, I'm joined by Todd Sean Tay, who is looking for funding for a 45-minute pilot he's calling Star Trek Captain Pike. We talk about the conception of Star Trek Captain Pike, what the script entails, a lot of the veteran actors involved, and how he sees Captain Pike, and how he sees the character being different from Captain Kirk. So, listen now as I talk to Todd Sean Tay about Star Trek Captain Pike. So I'm very happy to welcome Todd Sean Tay to Continuing Mission. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks so much, Eric, for having me.
So why don't you tell us a little bit about kind of the concept behind the show and how it came to get started?
Basically, it starts with Captain Pike's first mission. If you watched The Cage, which was the pilot of Star Trek with Jeffrey Hunter, you'd remember that episode. And it left a lot of unanswered questions for people. And being a fan of the series myself, it was something that I always wanted to see. I wanted to see who Chris Pike was and what was his story, because we never got a chance to see that. You had the Menagerie episode, which was a two-part episode later on the original series. You had The Cage, which was the pilot. And also you had his encounter at Rigel 7 that was never really even covered in the pilot or the Menagerie. You knew that he had a mission to Rigel 7 and that he lost a lot of crew members, but you never really got to explore that. So our project basically covers his first mission, all the missions in between up to Rigel 7 when he first goes on that mission. So it's basically a Captain Pike saga. It's his whole story.
And kind of the interesting thing around the conception of this is you're trying to get funded a 45-minute, what you're calling a 45-minute episode pilot called Star Trek Captain Pike, which will be the first mission of Captain Pike. Is that correct?
Right. That will be when he first assumes command of the Enterprise.
Okay. And I think you're right that the Captain Pike is one of those characters in the Star Trek franchise that is probably one of the lesser known ones. You know, like you said, we know he had this mission at Rigel 7, which didn't go very well. And we know that he was the second captain of the original Enterprise. But aside from that and sort of, you know, what we saw in the Menagerie and a little bit of what we saw in Captain Pike in the new movies as well, in the Abrams movies, you know, we don't really know that much about him. So how are you sort of approaching the character of Captain Pike in this?
I guess we're taking what we've learned about him so far and we're writing from there as far as creating it. We're taking some of the history that we've learned about Pike through other sources of media besides film. Little bits and pieces here and there that people do know about Pike. They know that he has a father. His name is Josh Pike. He's the admiral in Starfleet. So we've taken that. There's other things we've taken as far as the history. We just want to make sure that the character is explored in a proper way. And we want to pay homage to the story that people know about him. Everything that basically anything that anyone wants to see about Pike, they won't be let down in this feature. It's very, very detailed what we're going into. And it became more than just a pilot episode. It became a whole saga that we wrote exploring all the different characters that are involved.
Yeah, so you're taking not only what we saw in the sort of canon Star Trek stuff, but you're also taking things that, that are outside of that. So, you know, the character of Josh Pike, for example, his father is from some, I think that's from one of the comic books and maybe one of the novels. Is that correct?
Yeah, there's comics, there's novels. There's a lot of stuff that's written about Chris Pike. So we've taken, not saying I'm going to take every single piece of thing that's been written about him, but we're taking some of the important things that stood out for me, just finding out about the history of Pike, what I thought was interesting, some of the things that I think the other fans would say, hey, that's something you can't leave out. Like, for instance, his father, Josh Pike, and they had a strained relationship, and there was that history there. So to me, that was an important thing for character development that I needed to see. I needed to see the characters in a strong way. I needed to see, understand who each character was. I think with any type of script, and especially for Star Trek, it wasn't really based about the explosions and visual effects. It was based mostly on the character history and who they were and the relationships they had with each other. And that's pretty much what I'm basing this on. But we will also have some great visual effects, and there will be a lot of action and a lot of battles going on. So that's going to be pretty intense for people.
So you talk a lot about characters inside of the conception of this. What do you think makes Captain Pike sort of stand out or sort of a different character from some of the other captains that we've seen throughout Star Trek?
I guess for me, one, that he was the captain of the Enterprise that we never got a chance to see anything about besides Kirk. Another thing is Kirk had a relationship with him. Spock went out of his way to save Pike and go against Kirk's orders. He had also a strong relationship with him. So there had to be something that Captain Pike did or showed in his character that was important to these people. And I thought Jeffrey Hunter was a great actor, and he did a great job with Captain Pike, but he didn't get really a chance to explore the character because it was a gig that he moved on to do something else. And then they weren't sure if he was going to get picked up. So, you know, who knows what would have happened if Jeffrey Hunter would have gotten the role and it would have continued, or who knows. But it's, to me, it was something that, you know, when I watched The Cage, I thought it was the episode was a little bit more serious. It was a little bit it was scarier if you're a young kid and you watch The Cage and you see the Talosians with the veins, you know, pumping back and forth, you know. So for me, it was something that it addressed the issue of, you know, this is dangerous what we're doing. We're going out into space. We have technology that we think is great. We have technology that we think is the best there is. But is it the best there is? Is what we have enough? Are we ready for what we're going to encounter? And to me, that episode, The Cage, was the answer. It was just, I don't think we're ready. And we're ready to go out there and explore, but I don't know if we're ready for all the dangers. And I think that's something that I got out of watching The Cage, that, you know, going out into space, just because you can fly out into space and you have a crew and a fleet, doesn't mean you're ready. Doesn't mean you know what you're going to encounter and how to deal with everything you encounter. You can always have a Bible of different things and solutions of what you can do in any situation, but it doesn't mean it will all be clear when you encounter something that you might not be able to handle. And I think for me, watching The Cage was an example of the captain encountering something, you know, being locked up in that cage, having the Talosians there, you know, he's taken away from his ship. You know, if you think about it, like a real situation, like, you know, here I am, the captain of my ship, I'm taken out of my ship, I'm locked in a cage, my crew members could be killed, who knows what's happening to my crew. This is dangerous. And I think that's something that we wanted to show and explore in the film, how dangerous this can be, you know?
Yeah, and you talk a lot about The Cage, which of course is appropriate because that's one of the only times that we really see Captain Pike sort of, you know, in his prime, as it were. And you talk a lot about how The Cage, you know, sort of feels different from a lot of other Star Trek and certainly from kind of the flavor of the original series. So are you trying to use that as sort of a model for Star Trek Captain Pike, or are you going for a different feel? How are you approaching that?
I would say we are using it as a model for the pilot and for the saga of having it give you a darker feel, a darker tone to the series. So it won't be as cut and dry of what's going to happen. There will be questions that will be answered. There will be questions that won't be answered. It will be something that will be very enticing for the viewer to see, that when they watch the episode, they'll have the feeling, I guess the point of view of the captain and the crew exploring space. And I think, to me, those were the best episodes of the original series. When I would watch some of the episodes with Shatner, and it was just quiet on the bridge, and he looked at Spock and he said, you know, what are we going to encounter? What's happening? And Spock is like, you know, I'm doing my best here, but I don't know what this is either. You know, all we can do is figure out what we can do with it. And to me, the best episodes of the original series were the ones where they were out in space and they looked at each other like, you know, we're going to handle this, but we don't know what to expect and we don't know what we're going to do, but we're going to try the best we can. And they had such great character relationships on top of that, which is what made the show so great. You know, the relationships that the crew members, the bridge members had with each other, and their history, which was so important, and how they dealt with situations that they didn't know. You know, that when you'd watch the Kirk episodes as well, he would deal with situations the way they wrote, the solutions would be something that was unorthodox, that was not in the handbook, that, you know, he's out in the middle of space and people are trying to kill him and his crew members. And you have to come up, you have to think on your feet and come up with solutions. And to me, that was realistic. It was something that when we go out into space and we have the capabilities that you see in Star Trek, and I believe we will, that when it gets to that point, that's going to be something that will have to be addressed. You know, I mean, we can't just write a book and say, these are all the answers. If you encounter alien life and it's dangerous, you know, here's what you do, because there are no answers like that. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's the biggest thing about the show for me that drew me in, that, you know, it wasn't a cut and dry solution most of the time. If they were in danger, it was something that they had to figure out a solution that worked for that particular scenario. You know,
can you talk a little bit about how you think Captain Pike would approach, you know, encountering new alien life that would be different from, say, Captain Kirk, for example?
There would definitely be differences in the way the captains would handle the situation. Also, the bridge crew would be different. There are a lot of characters on the bridge. I mean, Spock is an established character. Captain Pike is an established character. You have the doctor, Dr. Boyce, who made an appearance in that episode. But as far as the other bridge crew, you know, there is a couple of people you'd see here and there. Number one is established, but they didn't go into too much detail on that character. Colt. So there's a lot of other characters on the bridge that we really want to explore who these people are. And I think the whole dynamic of them working together is very important, and it makes the captain's decisions different as well. So it's not just his dynamic against Kirk's, it's his crew's dynamic against the other bridge crew. But I will say that his decisions would be different, just like you'd have Jean-Luc Picard and Kirk would, you know, have their differences. Captain Pike would have his differences too.
Yeah, I actually think that's a good way to look at it, saying that it's not just the captain, but it's just the entire crew and how they interact. And it's sort of a very different ship, and each sort of crew has its own personality about how they're going to handle things.
Yeah, because, you know, when Kirk and Spock worked together, you know, Kirk very much relied on Spock and his insight, and he would talk to him about some of the solutions and Bones. So the three of them would work on situations together, and you have a different dynamic with this, because you have Spock, but you have a different captain, and you have a younger Spock who's not as experienced as the Spock we see with Kirk. So you might not have a Spock that's as confident as the one that you saw later. You might have a Spock that is exploring his emotions still, that is not as cool and collected maybe as the one you saw later. You might have a captain that is, you know, he's first taking command of the Enterprise for the first time. He's been in command of other situations and lieutenant and other ranks in Starfleet, but this is the first time he's the captain. This is when he becomes captain. So, of course, the captain's first mission is going to be a lot different than Kirk, who you already saw established as a captain, really. When you see him go out with Spock, you already got the feeling that, you know, this is an experienced officer and he's been around for a while and he's been doing this. And with Pike, you have an experienced officer, but you have him actually, you actually see him become captain of the ship and you see him go on his first mission, which is something that I think was really important to establish with the characters.
Yeah, and I think that's something a lot of fans are going to be really interested in seeing. So let's talk a little bit about some of the cast you have sure. kind of attached to this. You know, you have a lot of names that a lot of fans will know. You know, you sort of Ray Wise, you have Bruce Davidson, you have Dwight Schultz, who, of course, is well known for playing Barclay.
And the
A-Team, yes, of course. Can't forget about that.
Lunchbox is the man. I mean, come on.
Yeah. You know, you have Linda Park from Enterprise, Robert Picardo. Yeah. So and Walter Koenig's involved, not acting, I don't think, but sort of on a more consultant level. Is that right?
No, he's actually going to co-write with us as well, because we have, good. Like I was saying, it's not only about the pilot. We've established this whole Pike canon and this whole universe that we're writing a whole Captain Pike saga for. And I wanted Walter to read the script and see what he thought about it. And he read the script and he really liked it and he thought it was different. And he said, hey, I would really like to be involved with this. And I was, you know, I said, hey, I want you to be involved with this. And now he's co-writing and we're meeting this week and working out some other things to make this a whole continuous story of Pike's mission. So it will not only be that first pilot, but it will continue. So we see all of Pike's missions, because for me as a fan, I wanted to see that and I never got a chance to see that. And it won't be written the way you've seen things before. It won't be written like you're going on a mission for another episode that you've seen. This would be something new and something different. And that was the approach that we wanted to take for it. You know, we won't be using the same music as the Star Trek original series episodes. We won't be doing the episodes the same way. It will have an edgier feel, a darker tone to it. So it's going to have a totally different feel. And for me, that was important, because there are so many shows out there that do use the same music and do such a great job of it. And why duplicate that? Because if something is done well, do something else. You know, that was my whole reasoning for it.
Yeah, no, I think that's really astute, actually. You know, if you look at the Star Trek series and a lot of the independent, you know, fan productions and all sorts of things, they really do bring a different flavor and sort of a different look at it. And Star Trek is one of those things that, you know, can sort of have all of these different interpretations of it and still be really interesting to the fans as well, I think.
Yeah, and I think, you know, just giving people more options is better, because then when people watch all the different series, they have so many different options, and it's not like they're watching the same one over and over again with different crews. It's, you know, they have different options to watch different things. And to me, that's important. I mean, the world we're in today, you can just go online and watch Star Trek episodes that aren't released by CBS. And they've been gracious enough to let us do that. And I think that's great. And it's great, because we like this show, we get to answer the questions that all the fans really want answered. And, especially for me. And that's how I came at it, like I said in the beginning, to just do something that I thought was interesting. And apparently everyone else thinks it's interesting, because we've been getting a lot of good feedback about it. But I really have to stress that, you know, we really need people to hop on board and donate and share as much as they can, because it's really important for us to reach our goal, because we can't do any of this unless we reach the goal. You know, we're shooting with a professional crew, professional cast. The cameras are Red cameras, which are very professional cameras. Everything is done like you'd see in a movie theater. So when the end product you'll be seeing, from the lighting to the look to the casting and everything, it will be a professional film. And we can't do that unless we hit the funding for the Kickstarter. So I'm just telling everyone, you know, if you're listening today, please, you know, give what you can. If it's a little, give a little. If it's a lot, give a lot. if you can't give anything and you still want to support us, then, you know, share our link to as many people as you can, you know, email as many people as you can, tell all your friends. If you have a blog or you have a show on YouTube or some kind of series like that, talk about Captain Pike and that Kickstarter and how we want to get funding so we can do this. Because that's what it comes down to in the end. You know, we have to get the reach out there to show people what we are capable of doing. And we, you know, the cast, the crew, we all want to do the conventions. We want to do San Diego Comic-Con. We want to get you the teaser by Thanksgiving, this Thanksgiving, and the trailer by this Christmas. And it's totally possible. And then after that, we would start editing the film, putting in visual effects and everything else. But without the funding, we can't do anything. So we would just sit on this, and we prefer not to. We prefer to get this film made. So, you know, basically that's what I want to stress to everyone. You know, if you really want to see this, don't just assume it will happen. The only way to get things to happen is to take action. And that's always been my philosophy. And that's just what I'm asking the fans to do. You know, take action on something that you really like, you know, help however you can, so we can get this done. And there's been some very, very supportive fans that have been helping and supporting this project. And I want to just thank all those people right now as well.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you mentioned all that, because, you know, bringing up the actors and sort of talking about the genesis of the idea and the script writing and having all of these really veteran, you know, film and television actors, people that we know from Star Trek and people that we know from a lot of other places, and having Walter Koenig on board, of course, is huge. And so, as these independent productions sort of, you know, sort of fill in the gaps, and the fans have a lot of hunger for sort of new episodic television or new up, you know, well, really it's television. I mean, you know, television is being made in a variety of different ways now. It's not just about turning on your TV set and watching whatever's on. These things do get very expensive. And so having all these veteran actors and having all of the equipment and the effects at your fingertips is really, really exciting. But, you know, how do you sort of juggle all of that with I guess all of the different, you know, options that people have now? You know, it seems difficult sometimes, but I think it's really worthwhile. So, you know, having all of this sort of like veteran stuff out there, how does that make it easier on you, really? I guess, you know.
I guess, doing a film in general is really hard work. It's a lot of work, putting the whole thing together, line producing it, figuring out, breaking down the script to where you're shooting the locations, keeping the certain actors for a certain number of days, understanding, you know, how long each person's going to be there and how much time you have to shoot. So there's a lot of things that you have to keep in mind when shooting. But at the end, just sitting there and editing the thing together and hearing the music go in and actually watching the thing put together is just an amazing feeling to see it put together and to see what has been accomplished. And we can accomplish something really great with this. And that's all we're trying to do. That's what we want to do. We want to create something that people want to see. And we're willing to come out and back it and go to the conventions and show the actual film at San Diego Comic-Con and some of the LA cons at the local, so the actors can come out here and support that as well. So, it's not only the Kickstarter that we're doing to finish to be able to make the film, but once the actors are on board and they understand that, you know, hey, this has already been funded and, you know, we're going to do this film now, then the support is just incredible, because, you know, these are working actors that are working all the time, and they're working, you know, almost every day. So for them to take their time to work on a project that isn't paying as much as some of these other projects where they get paid a lot more is just something incredible, you know, that you can work with these people and they're willing to work on your project. And it should tell the fans too, hey, look, this is a strong script and, you know, these actors want to do it because they know it's a good script. And it's a good project and we all want to work together and you want to see all these actors work together. And I know for me, when I put the cast together, I said, hey, these people, you know, look at these people, just their pictures together. Imagine these people in a film together, you know, and all the people you saw on our cast list, all those people, all those actors will be in that one pilot They're not going to be spread over a bunch of different things. They will all be in that one pilot. And then continuing, if we can continue and we're lucky enough to fund more, we could do more episodes later down the road. We want to do a 2-hour movie after this. So that's pretty much what we want to do. And I think, you know, if the fans say, hey, you know, we've got all these actors in this one film and they're really supporting it and the script is strong and we want to see this, get behind it while you can. So we can do this. So we can actually show you this film. Because we feel really passionate about it and we hope you do too. And I know there are a lot of people that are out there and they feel that way. And you don't have to donate a ton of money. You know, if you have a lot of money to donate, please do. But if you could support us any way you can and just get the word out there, we'd really appreciate it, you know?
Yeah, well, I think that really speaks to that sort of the power and sort of the love everybody has for Star Trek, that that all of these actors and everybody else that you're talking about, all the crew and the technical people and everything, you know, will really work hard and want to do something like this. So I'm curious, like, you know, I know you have just a couple minutes left, but I'm curious if you could speak a little bit about some of the I know that people are always really interested in hearing about how sort of like the sets and the special effects are coming together.
Well, the sets are James Cawley, who does Star Trek and New Voyages in Albany, New York. He's graciously offered us the use of his sets, and he has all the original series sets, and he has the ability that we can redress the sets and modify them to look like piped ship, which is really important to us. You would have the black railing and, you know, the whole look of the Pike era. So it wouldn't have the bright red doors or the bright red railing like on Kirk's ship. It'll look more like the pilot episode. And to me, that was important to have that feel. So there's the cost of flying all the actors to Albany and then putting them up in a hotel, paying for food, and also giving them a couple of extra days because you can't fly the actor up. And this is a plane that you'd have to stop over and get another plane as well. There's no one plane trip to Albany. So you have, you know, a 6-7 hour flight because you have to do the stopover, and then the actor gets there and you can't just throw them onto the set. So you need to give them that day that they can get some sleep and unwind before they act. And then they need a day afterwards, because if they wrap it like, you know, 11 o'clock at night, you can't throw them on a plane, you know,
right.
So you're looking at the actor staying on the location 2 more days than the shoot, paying for the hotels, paying for the food, giving them per diem. So they have money to eat, you know, when they're not on set. And when they have a little break, craft service, the cost of the airfare to go back and forth. So, I mean, that's something that's all part of the funding that we need. So that's as far as the sets, they're ready to go. But that requires, again, it goes back to the funding. And what was the other question you had?
I'm just curious a little bit if you could talk about the special effects.
Oh, special effects, we have Tobias Richter, who I'm sure you know Tobias's work. He's legendary in everything he's done. He's incredible with all these visual effects. He will be doing all this, the visual effects, battle sequences, everything. So visual effects, you know, he'll be doing an awesome job with that. So there's no problems there. But we can't get that going too far without funding, because, you know, I couldn't ask him to do a whole bunch of visual effects now for all these different sequences if we don't have any funding yet. And visual effects are not cheap. It's not like a cheap thing to pay for to now. It's, you know, thousands and thousands of dollars to do something like that, you know?
So I know that we're pretty much out of time, but, you know, just hearing you talk about Star Trek Captain Pike and the work that you're trying to get done and the pilot that you want to get made, you know, it really does sound like you have a lot of really talented industry veterans that are chomping at the bit to get this made. And I know that the fans, you know, once they check out the intro video and they sort of read a little bit about the project, you know, I think there's going to be a lot of original series fans that are going to be chomping at the bit to see this as well. So do you want to just let everybody know where they can find out more information about Star Trek Captain Pike and how they can donate?
Yeah, you can go to the Kickstarter. Star Trek Captain Pike is the Kickstarter. You have the Facebook's Star Trek Captain Pike. Captain Pike movie is actually the Facebook. Star Trek Captain Pike whoiscaptainpike.com is the website, or whoiscaptainpike.com. And it all links back to the Kickstarter, because that's where they can donate. And, you know, just get to it now and do what you can, because we'd really appreciate it. And we'd really love to make this film. And we will not let you down. This film will be amazing. But we need your help. We really need it. So please help as much as you can in any way you can. Thank you so much, Eric, too, for taking the time to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And Todd, thank you so much for joining me on Continuing Mission. And, you know, maybe once your Kickstarter is successful, let's have you back on and we can talk a little bit more about some of the pre-production work. And maybe we can make this a continuing mission, continuing conversation.
Definitely would love it. And, you know, we could bring some cast members, too, as well.
That'd be fantastic. All right. Well, thanks again, Todd. And enjoy the rest of your night.
You too. Thanks, Eric.
All right. Bye. It's been fun talking about Star Trek Captain Pike today with Todd Shante, but this is just one of the many topics we've been discussing here on the network. So here's a quick look at some other things you may have missed elsewhere on Trek.fm.
Previously on Trek.fm, Standard Orbit.
The Vulcans came. Maybe it's a Vulcan Thanksgiving. The Vulcans came to Earth and we gave them corn.
Okay. No, we gave them whiskey.
Well, I mean, corn whiskey then.
Okay.
Ah.
All right.
Ah,
there all right, we go. Cool.
The Orb.
I'd like to see the Borg assimilate Ferenginar, and then they would become bankers. You know, I could see...
Oh my gosh.
I could see
bankers.
Drones. Yeah, yeah.
The world's strictest bank ever.
Right.
I'm sorry, you have not paid your loan. You will be assimilated.
The nanites go into you.
Yes.
The Ready Room.
Oh, man. I can see, instead of Kirk, it's Mike Ditka throughout the entire
It's just like chewing the whole time. Like, yeah. Edith Keeler must die.
Oh, she's got to die.
Commentary, Trek Stars.
The theme song, I mean, I guess it's cool. The thing that I was kind of struck by was the opening title sequence itself.
Yeah, it makes no sense.
It's literally like all three of them are running for their lives.
The 602 Club.
But I loved the scene with Lucy and Tumnus when they first meet, because mm-hmm. that's a very yeah. vivid description in the book. And I felt like they really nailed that in terms of the way it looked. And the CGI was advanced enough so that James McAvoy really looked like he had fawn legs. And
Literary Treks.
Tell us about coming up with this story for the crew of the Enterprise. Where did it come from for you? And what were some of your inspirations for diving into these characters once again?
Well, Troublesome Minds was such a book that it left me with as if I didn't quite finish. I'd come up with Troublesome Minds as an idea. The idea was, what pushes Spock toward Kolinar?
Axanar, the official podcast.
There is more to life than just get up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, repeat until dead. There's more to life than that. And I believe that that's the essential magic of Star Trek, is that it says, it appeals to that urge to get up off the couch, walk out the front door, and go see what's out there.
And that's what else is happening on Trek.fm.
So check out all of these shows and find out what we're talking about in your favorite corner of the Star Trek universe and beyond. You'll find us wherever you get your podcasts: iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Spreaker, Windows Phone, BlackBerry, SoundCloud. You can stream from the show page on the website, download the MP3 file from that page, or grab the RSS link. If you're an iTunes user, be sure to hit the subscribe button. That helps us greatly and makes it easier for other listeners to find the show as they search iTunes for Star Trek podcasts. Also, while you're there, please take a moment to leave us a star rating and a written review. We'd love to hear what you think about the show, and that helps us rise up in the search results. If you'd like to share your thoughts on today's show, there are many ways to get in touch with us. The best place to discuss this episode is in the Babel Conference, our listeners' discussion group on Facebook. We have so many members in this group and have great, respectful discussions about Star Trek every day. Come join us there by typing B-A-B-E-L into the search field on Facebook, or click Discussion on the menu bar on our website. Both will take you there. It's a closed group, so you'll need to click join, but we'll let you right in and hope to see you there. Now, here are some other ways you can contact us. On Twitter, our username is TrekFM, and of course we also have our main Facebook page at facebook.com/TrekFM. If you prefer email, visit trek.fm/contact and use the form on that page. Choose to send to a show and choose continuing mission, and that will come to me by email. You can even send me a voicemail by going to speakpipe.com/trekfm. All you need is the microphone on your smartphone, tablet, or webcam to record a message, and you can send it to me right here from this page. And if you'd like to find out about me personally, you can follow me on Twitter at Eric Brasure, or ericbrasure, or at trekaboutshow.com, which is my own personal podcast where I explore the Star Trek franchise with a newbie. So thanks for joining me on this episode of Continuing Mission, and join me again next time, and let's see what's out there.